Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. First century Christians were close to the words of the Old Testament prophets, spoken about Christ's first coming, Bethlehem, in a manger, humility, about the promised Messiah. Thank you, son. Appreciate that. But they're also close to the promises of Jesus' second coming, and speaking of his return, first coming as a lamb to be sacrificed, and then to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus added to the promises himself, and they were constant reminders to the apostles, such as Peter, and in his letters like these that we study. So today we're going to wrap up the remainder of the five perspectives on the Christian hope, the Lord's return. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for the truth of your word, and thank you for the power that it holds and the opportunity given to us to freely study it, to grow in it, to understand it, to apply it to our lives. So, Father, illuminate our thoughts in this time as we read and study with the desire to grow more like your Son and to walk as he walked in obedience to you. So ask your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. If you haven't, yeah, Mom, please flip that switch there. You got the power. Boom. How many of you just saw the song, by the way? You got the power. Okay, just me. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you haven't done so, please do now. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. Turn to page 184 in the last part of the book as we get close to wrapping this up, the study of 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read again the verses that we're looking at in this passage. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter's wrapping up this letter, this second letter, and what he shares is not necessarily new information, but it is important information. It was important in the first century. It's important in the 21st century. He appealed, the truth of Christ's return is important because Peter recalls, calls believers to remember it. We have to remember what is promised us, which is the return of Christ. And he appealed to their sincere mind. We talked about sincere from two Latin words, sincera, meaning without wax, and how the artisans at that time, when they had a flawed pottery piece, they would seal up the cracks in wax, and so people would hold it up to the sun to see if there's any defects in it. So it means sun judged, S-U-N. We are to be sun judged, S-O-N, and examine our lives in regards to Christ and the commandments that he gave to the apostles and gives to us in his word. We have to remember that we are under a great benevolent God that desires the best for us, even in difficult times. I've often said that Christianity is hard, but it's the best. It's the best because it's like the best roller coaster ride you're ever going to be on. Sometimes you're just going through that smooth part through the tunnel, but sometimes you're climbing that hill, and you know it's coming, and you can't stop it. But man, the thrill of going through life with God is an amazing adventure. Because you know you're not alone. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never go ahead of you. I'll never leave you behind. And we're called to remember that he is going to return one day. And it's important for us to understand that from both the New Testament and the Old Testament. Both work in harmony together for one story, God's love story to his creation. In the Old Testament is the promise of the Messiah comes, and then the promise of the return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's written in regards to the Lord's return so that we might understand the times that are ahead that will be revealed. God does not give us more than we can handle, but there's a lot to handle coming up, and he wants us to stand strong. However true God's word may be, the second point last week was scoffers will laugh at it. Peter exposed the ignorance of the scoffers. Hey, everything's been the same since creation, so why should we look for this second coming of this judge? He points out the ignorance of creation, of the flood. The fact is that God can do that. He can do anything. God is not bound by natural laws. That's just what man has concluded as he observes things. But God has every right as creator to interrupt those things. It's called miracles. Jesus did it many, many times in his 3.5-year ministry on the earth. Talk about the last days. We are in the last days. The last days is the in-between time of Christ ascending back to heaven and his second return, the second advent, returning as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Until the time it's in the last days, and there is a last day, there is a point, there's a line drawn in which he will return. Until that time, we are to be busy. God is patient that we might share the testimony within us with others that they might know Christ. It's not to make our life comfortable. It's to make their life eternal. Because everyone lives eternally. Either with Christ in his glory forever or in hell forever. That's the only two choices that there are. And we have this last days, this period of time to make that choice. Scoffers and mockers are the false teachers that says there is no second coming. It's not going to happen. And when you have that mindset, when you take that view, guess what? You can do anything. Because in your mind, there is no judgment. There's no one's going to judge me. You hear a lot of young people, don't judge me, don't you? Believers, there's a thing about judging and condemning, showing what God has called us to be. We have to, as in the body of Christ, especially if we see a brother or a sister erring, we have to, in humility, come to them. You better pray a lot, because the Bible says, you know, you point that one finger, there's three pointing back at you. You know, you do it with humility and gentleness to restore them. There are things that go on in the body that just ought not be, because now I say it, Pastor Roland, elders, it's because God's word says that. But you come with gentleness and reverence to win them back. Christ's return is rejected on the principle of uniformitarianism. For those who were here last week, know I am so happy at this moment to get through that word. I had to pay $2 this week to get that word out there. It's the view that the cosmic processes of the present and future can be understood solely on the basis of how the cosmos has operated in the past. Sure, that's how man looks at it. But when you read God's word, when you study the Old Testament, God held up the sun for a period of time. He's done things that are extraordinary that man, natural man, doesn't want to acknowledge. Because when he does, he's got to bow his knee. He's got to submit to a greater authority than himself. You know what? As a believer, you realize that's a good thing, not a bad thing. I'd rather have a benevolent God looking over me than to think I came out of some soup, hit with lightning, and crawled on the earth and eventually got an eye. Who even Darwin said, the eye who can explain it. Wouldn't you rather be a created being than to think that we... anyway, that's a whole other message that you can hear tonight. Tonight, 6:30. Don't miss it. In a universe governed by natural laws, miracles can happen because God can choose to do so. You know, and it doesn't have to be a worldwide, like flood. It can be just something in your life that you see God moving and praising Him for. But the scoffers deliberately forget God's creation, the flood, then they say God's doing nothing. We are called to remember that that's not true. Stand by that. And then the Bible talks about three important days. The day of Christ relates to the coming of Christ for His church in 1 Corinthians and Philippians chapter 1. Then there's the day of the Lord, which includes the tribulation period, the Christ return to defeat Satan and be subdued, the millennium kingdom of God, which is the 1,000-year reign on earth, and then the final battle. That period of time is important. That period of time will define, and it's amazing, even after Christ comes back to reign on 1,000 years on earth, that at the end, Satan can still stir people up to try and come against Christ and defeat Him. Guess what? He loses. He already has lost. We just haven't gotten there yet. In eternity, Satan's already defeated. He was defeated at the resurrection. But the reality is he will have his time. And then there's the day of God. At the end is that period of time when God creates a new heavens and a new earth, and we enjoy intimacy, relationship, presence with Him forever, where He is the light, and we are in no need of a sun anymore. Continuing on now to the Christian hope, the Lord's return, for point three. God guarantees it, verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. Pay attention, underline it. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Why should the Lord be taking so long in His coming back to us? I spoke about being patient. Loanne spoke about being patient. Not patient people. You know, I've often said that fast food will not be fast enough until you can throw the money in like that little bin like you do for toll booths, you know, going to Chicago time and time again, and they toss the food in your cart. That's fast food. I mean, you sit there in the line for 5 minutes going, man, how pathetic is that? You know, the things that we look at. And we talk about God being slow, Christ is slow. You know, sometimes patience is like pulling teeth with me. I try my wife's patience at times. She is loving. She is great. You know, because she will get me tasks to do like yesterday. If you want to get your house in really good order, have your oldest kids come from Chicago and from Washington, D.C. You know, you are constantly working. And she'll give me my list of things, and I go, well, honey, what about this? She'll go, dear. Back on my, because I'm ADD. You know, I'm like, whatever, see, oh, you know. And then nothing gets done. And that's a good day. No. But for me, necessarily when I have tests, I don't want to make a mistake. You know, we praise God, there's a real good artisan in our church that was able to pay to come and put these back tiles, backsplash tiles. Yes. Took him 3 days. Ooh, 3 days. Is there, okay. 3 days. It would have taken me 3 months to do that. Because I'm doing... Very sad to be in my household. But here Peter reminds them that God is not limited to linear time. There is a string that went all across called linear time. And we are born, we jump on that string and we live and never ends. Either we go to be with God in heaven, or we are in utter darkness with gnashing of teeth and wailing, separated from God forever. But we're in linear time. You see, God is above linear time. He sees the beginning from the end. He knew us before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eye. And he's not stuck on linear time. Our easiest comparison, we get on this time thing, but we never stop. We live eternally, either with God or without God. But God's not the same. He lives above it. That's where God exists in eternity. And it's hard to wrap our little finite minds around that, so that's why we're stuck on linear time, waiting for God to do something. There is explicit differences between our thinking and God's thinking, and the easiest example is being a parent. Okay? Parent's mind, child's mind. Are they the same? Come on. Be brave. Are they the same?
No.
No. Come on. Toughen up. There's only a couple of children here. We can take them. Parent's mind, healthy meals. Child's mind, ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Okay, lunch and dinner then. All right. But you know, we have different minds, but we do that because we want our children to grow up to be adults, right? We were called to raise adults. God is doing the same thing. He's very gracious by, he doesn't go, hey, finite mind, listen to me. You know, he tries to guide us through things to understand him better. That even when he disciplines us, he does it because he loves us, just as we do our children. It's not to make the, that's why the Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why? Because it's so easy. Don't do it. Love him. Listen to him. Spend time. We love Josh. And Josh is so cool because he's just a cool kid. The way he thinks and the way he interacts and does things. You know? They deserve our time. And sometimes we get so caught up. God deserves our time as well because he wants us to commune with him and understand. People see time against time. God sees time against eternity. And it seems long because of our finite perspective. You know, we think about Christ reigning for 1,000 years on earth. How can that happen? Well, look back to the beginning of the book. How they lived hundreds of years. A millennium, they lived for that long. Hey, you're only 160. You're too young to have kids. You got to wait a little bit longer. You know, you get to know her for another few decades, then maybe. You know, hard for us to understand that. But in that time when Christ comes, it'll make sense to us. The present time may seem long at 2,000 years since Christ ascended, but how long is that in God's perspective? 2 days. It's only been 2 days. But the next day is coming. And that's what he wants to have us keep in mind. Why does he delay the promise of his return? Verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants us with him. He wants us all with him. Are they all going to be with him? No. It is not speaking about universal salvation. That does not happen. But the universal gift and the offering is there. We choose to accept it, the gift. But by not accepting it, we also choose to reject it. Which is why we need to live the word, live the faith, live the life that Christ has in us, so that people might see Christ. It's because of his desire for his creation to recognize him as creator and enter into a relationship with him that they might live forever. We talked about that we are not all God's children. That's a fallacy. That's a feel-good statement that people want to say because they want to still do what they want to do and not acknowledge God. We are all God's creation. That is the commonality that we have in the human race. But to be a child of God implies relationship with him, which has a responsibility to follow what they say and for him to discipline us and to guide us into that obedience so that we will have the life that he's called us to have. We had some good friends in Denver, Colorado, and they were very well off. The Polans owned Carrick Services, like the fourth largest type of an FTD type of thing. They were a florist, middle person, and they were huge, and they built this $8 million home in Denver, Colorado. But the thing is, you never would know that they were millionaires. They were very wonderful people. And when they had their house opening, they hired our group, the Diamonds, to perform in the backyard around the pool. It was black tie events. You know, come to the front door, take your shoes off, go through the house into the backyard with all. But it was a house opening, not an open house. They opened their house to their friends. They received them at the door. You couldn't say, hey, I've been watching you build this house for the last few months. Let me come on in. There were going to be people, I've heard about you, God, but I'd like to come in anyway. It's a house opening to those who have accepted His Son, not an open house. We have to understand that importance, because that determines how we accept the Son, whether we're going to live eternally or not. To reject Him, as you may know about it, you may have heard about it, but if you haven't received it, it's a closed door for you. That's not what God wants. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's His wish for creation. And how they learn about it is us sharing His word and His truth. It's not us, them. It's us as created beings explaining how we got here through the Creator. If knowing Him is so easy, why is it so hard to receive that free gift of salvation? Because it comes with the responsibility of obedience and following your Creator. Next, Peter describes it in verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. When the Lord comes, it will both be a surprise and catastrophic. There are events that are going to take place. It's going to come. We don't know when it is. Even Christ, the Bible says, doesn't know. In His divine will, He subjects Himself to the Father, and the Father knows, and that's it. Not even the angels in heaven, but they are waiting in anticipation, just like they did for the night of Christ's birth when the heavens exploded. A thief doesn't tip their hand or announce when they'll be by. Hi, Mr. Check. Are you home next Thursday night? No? Good. Thanks very much. Makes it a lot easier. Bye. It doesn't work that way. Christ is the same way. He's not going to come when we need to. Because what happens if we know on this date Christ is going to return? We're going to raise hell until that day, and then we're going to be like angels on earth, right? We're called to be men of God, women of God now in all that we do. It's not holier than thou, but holy because Christ is holy. Doing those things in humility because He wants us to reach people for Himself. That cataclysmic, maybe got some change on them. Cataclysmic events suggest the question, the earth and everything in it, will they be found? And the answer is no, it's to be wiped away. Clean slate. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Ever think about that? We should. We should. Every time we see someone cut us off in Meyer line. You thought I was going to say cars, didn't you? That never happens. You know, we have to think about that. What type of, there was a kind of a joking when we were a church in a box and we met at Bamway Elementary and we had all of our worldly possessions, all of our sound, all of our lights, all of our stands were in this one little trailer. And on the back says, follow me to Grace Community Christian Fellowship. Man, if I'm passing people, I'm going to have a lot of people following me. They want to get to know me real well. We have to be careful, you know, in those things that we're not living, because the flesh stirs us up, and we want to show them exactly how fast this minivan can go. Pull in. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, my mind's like a racquetball court. But we have to understand, in the description, it's going to be amazing. And it's going to happen because it's already been written. It exists in eternity. We just haven't gotten there yet. Because of the events, we should be ready to be living our lives. We should be living our lives in the present in light of the Lord's return, that He can come back any day. Being ready is the underline of what Peter says. Be ready today. Do things in your life that says, I'm ready. Believe me, this world should have no hold on us other than the fact that we want to see people saved. We want our family, our friends, those we care about. That's why God put up on our hearts to do those cards. I did it this way because one's for me, one's for you. We want to see them in the kingdom. You know, Luann said we've been praying for over 20 years for our sons and their wives. We will continue on to. You know, there's not a point where it's saturated. There's a point that God listens to the fervent prayers, that knocking on the door that eventually someone's going to open. You can call anyone. You can call anyone after midnight, and they'll tell you what time it is. Keep it up. You're thinking, do you know it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Thank you so much. Got to set this thing out. See where I'm at. God loves the fact that we keep coming with these same people. You know, because we want to see them in the kingdom. Why? Because it's going to be spectacular. Man. We talk about things that are important to us. Isn't Christ important? And Peter says, they won't even understand it. But don't give up on it. Don't give up on them at all. Because we're looking for and hastening the coming day of God means expect and anticipate. There is a day that God has determined when the last person is saved, he's sending back his son. Let's be in the mindset that we might come across that one last person and want to share Christ with them. Man, that changes your thinking real good. But verse 13, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And at the very end of it, the day of God. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the excitement that it brings, because what an amazing picture that you have for us of what's ahead. What an amazing opportunity to be used by you to reach the lost, to know you, that they would be lost no more, that they would be struggling no more, that they would not put the weight of the world on their shoulders or see that this is all that there is, because there is so much more in you. Father, help to keep our thinking correct in you this week, that people might take notice and be drawn to you. Use us, Christ. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us. And we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless. Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. First century Christians were close to the words of the Old Testament prophets. Spoken about Christ's first coming, Bethlehem, in a manger, humility, about the promised Messiah. Thank you, son. Appreciate that. But they're also close to the promises of Jesus' second coming and speaking of his return, first coming as a lamb to be sacrificed and then to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus added to the promises himself, and they were constant reminders to the apostles, such as Peter, and in his letters like these that we study. So today we're going to wrap up the remainder of the 5 perspectives on the Christian hope, the Lord's return. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for the truth of your word, and thank you for the power that it holds and the opportunity given to us to freely study it, to grow in it, to understand it, to apply it to our lives. So, Father, illuminate our thoughts in this time as we read and study with the desire to grow more like your Son. and to walk as he walked in obedience to you. So ask your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. If you have, yeah, Mom, please flip that switch there. You got the power. Boom. How many of you just saw the song, by the way? You got the power. Okay, that's me. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you haven't done so, please do now. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. Turn to page 184 in the last part of the book as we get close to wrapping this up, the study of 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read again the verses that we're looking at in this passage. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter's wrapping up this letter, this second letter, and what he shares is not necessarily new information, but it is important information. It was important in the first century. It's important in the 21st century. He appealed, the truth of Christ's return is important because Peter recalls, calls believers to remember it. We have to remember what is promised us, which is the return of Christ. And he appealed to their sincere mind. We talked about sincere from two Latin words, sincera, meaning without wax, and how the artisans that time, when they had a flawed pottery piece, they would seal up the cracks in wax, and so people would hold it up to the sun to see if there's any defects in it. So it means sun judge, S-U-N. We are to be sun judge, S-O-N, and examine our lives in regards to Christ and the commandments that he gave to the apostles and gives to us in his word. We have to remember that we are under a great, benevolent God that desires the best for us, even in difficult times. I've often said that Christianity is hard, but it's the best. It's the best because it's like the best roller coaster ride you're ever going to be on. Sometimes you're just going through that smooth part through the tunnel, but sometimes you're climbing that hill, and you know it's coming, and you can't stop it. But man, the thrill of going through life with God is an amazing adventure. Because you know you're not alone. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never go ahead of you. I'll never leave you behind. And we're called to remember that he is going to return one day. And it's important for us to understand that from both the New Testament and the Old Testament. Both work in harmony together for one story, God's love story to his creation. In the Old Testament is the promise of the Messiah comes, and then the promise of the return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's written in regards to the Lord's return so that we might understand the times that are ahead that will be revealed. God does not give us more than we can handle, but there's a lot to handle coming up, and he wants us to stand strong. However true God's word may be, the second point last week was scoffers will laugh at it. Peter exposed the ignorance of the scoffers. Hey, everything's been the same since creation, so why should we look for this second coming of this judge? He points out the ignorance of creation, of the flood. The fact is that God can do that. He can do anything. God is not bound by natural laws. That's just what man has concluded as he observes things. But God has every right as creator to interrupt those things. It's called miracles. Jesus did it many, many times in his 3.5-year ministry on the earth. Talk about the last days. We are in the last days. The last days is the in-between time of Christ ascending back to heaven and his second return, the second advent, returning as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Until the time, it's in the last days, and there is a last day. There is a point, there's a line drawn in which he will return. Until that time, we are to be busy. God is patient that we might share the testimony within us with others that they might know Christ. It's not to make our life comfortable. It's to make their life eternal. Because everyone lives eternally, either with Christ in his glory forever or in hell forever. That's the only two choices that there are. And we have this last days, this period of time, to make that choice. Scoffers and mockers of the false teachers that says there is no second coming. It's not going to happen. And when you have that mindset, when you take that view, guess what? You can do anything. Because in your mind, there is no judgment. There's no one's going to judge me. You hear a lot of young people, don't judge me, don't you? Believers, there's a thing about judging and condemning, showing what God has called us to be. We have to, as in the body of Christ, especially if we see a brother or a sister erring, we have to, in humility, come to them. You better pray a lot, because the Bible says, you know, you point that one finger, there's three pointing back at you. You know, you don't do it with, you do it with humility and gentleness to restore them. There are things that go on in the body that just ought not be, because now I say it, Pastor Roland, elders, it's because God's word says that. But you come with gentleness and reverence to win them back. Christ's return is rejected on the principle of uniformitarianism. For those who were here last week, you know I am so happy at this moment to get through that word. I had to pay $2 this week to get that word out there. It's the view that the cosmic processes of the present and future can be understood solely on the basis of how the cosmos has operated in the past. Sure, that's how man looks at it. But when you read God's word, when you study the Old Testament, God held up the sun for a period of time. He's done things that are extraordinary that man, natural man, doesn't want to acknowledge. Because when he does, he's got to bow his knee. He's got to submit to a greater authority than himself. You know what? As a believer, you realize that's a good thing, not a bad thing. I'd rather have a benevolent God looking over me than to think I came out of some soup, hit with lightning, and crawled on the earth and eventually got an eye. Who even Darwin said, the eye who can explain it. Wouldn't you rather be a created being than to think that we... anyway, that's a whole other message that you can hear tonight. Tonight, 6:30. Don't miss it. In a universe governed by natural laws, miracles can happen because God can choose to do so. You know, and it doesn't have to be a worldwide, like flood. It can be just something in your life that you see God moving and praising him for. But the scoffers deliberately forget God's creation, the flood, then they say God's doing nothing. We are called to remember that that's not true. Stand by that. And then the Bible talks about three important days, the day of Christ, relates to the coming of Christ for his church in 1 Corinthians and Philippians chapter 1. Then there's the day of the Lord, which includes the tribulation period, the Christ's return to defeat Satan and be subdued, the millennium kingdom of God, which is the thousand-year reign on earth, and then the final battle. That period of time is important. That period of time will define, and it's amazing, even after Christ comes back to reign on 1,000 years on earth, that at the end, Satan can still stir people up to try and come against Christ and defeat him. Guess what? He loses. He already has lost. We just haven't gotten there yet. In eternity, Satan's already defeated. He was defeated at the resurrection. But the reality is he will have his time. And then there's the day of God. At the end is that period of time when God creates a new heavens and a new earth, and we enjoy intimacy, relationship, presence with him forever, where he is the light, and we are in no need of a sun anymore. Continuing on now to the Christian hope, the Lord's return, for point three. God guarantees it, verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Pay attention, underline it. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Why should the Lord be taking so long in his coming back to us? I spoke about being patient. Loanne spoke about being patient. Not patient people. You know, I've often said that fast food will not be fast enough until you can throw the money in like that little bin like you do for toll booths, you know, going to Chicago time and time again, and they toss the food in your car. That's fast food. I mean, you sit there in the line for 5 minutes going, man, how pathetic is that? You know, the things that we look at. And we talk about God being slow, Christ is slow. You know, sometimes patience is like pulling teeth with me. I try my wife's patience at times. She is loving. She is great. You know, because she will get me tasks to do like yesterday. If you want to get your house in really good order, have your oldest kids come from Chicago and from Washington, D.C. You know, you are constantly working. And she'll give me my list of things, and I go, well, honey, what about this? She goes, dear. Back on my, because I'm ADD. You know, I'm like, whatever, see, oh, you know. And then nothing gets done. And that's a good day. No. But for me, necessarily when I test, I don't want to make a mistake. You know, we praise God, there's a real good artisan in our church that was able to pay to come and put these back tiles, backsplash tiles. Yes. Took him 3 days. Ooh, 3 days. Is there, okay. 3 days. It would have taken me 3 months to do that. Because I've been doing... Very sad to be in my household. But here Peter reminds them that God is not limited to linear time. There was a string going all across called linear time. And we are born, we jump on that string, and we live, and never ends. Either we go to be with God in heaven, or we are in utter darkness with gnashing of teeth and wailing, separated from God forever. But we're in linear time. But see, God is above linear time. He sees the beginning from the end. He knew us before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eye. And he's not stuck on linear time. Our easiest comparison, we get on this time thing, but we never stop. We live eternally, either with God or without God. But God's not the same. He lives above it. That's where God exists in eternity. And it's hard to wrap our little finite minds around that, so that's why we're stuck on linear time, waiting for God to do something. There is explicit differences between our thinking and God's thinking, and the easiest example is being a parent, okay? Parent's mind, child's mind, are they the same? Come on, be brave. Are they the same?
No.
No. Come on, toughen up. There's only a couple of children here, we can take them. Parents' mind, healthy meals. Child's mind, ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Okay, lunch and dinner then. All right. But, you know, we have different minds, but we do that because we want our children to grow up to be adults, right? We were called to raise adults. God is doing the same thing. He's very gracious by, he doesn't go, hey, finite mind, listen to me. You know, he tries to guide us through things to understand him better. That even when he disciplines us, he does it because he loves us, just as we do our children. It's not to make that. That's why the Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why? Because it's so easy. Don't do it. Love them. Listen to them. Spend time. We love Josh. And Josh is so cool because he's just a cool kid. The way he thinks, the way he interacts and does things. You know? They deserve our time. And sometimes we get so caught up. God deserves our time as well because he wants us to commune with him and understand. People see time against time. God sees times against eternity. And it seems long because of our finite perspective. You know, we think about Christ reigning for 1,000 years on earth. How can that happen? Well, look back to the beginning of the book. How they lived hundreds of years. A millennium, they lived for that long. Hey, you're only 160. You're too young to have kids. You got to wait a little bit longer. You know, you get to know her for another few decades, then maybe. You know, hard for us to understand that. But in that time when Christ comes, it'll make sense to us. The present time may seem long at 2,000 years since Christ ascended, but how long is that in God's perspective? 2 days. It's only been 2 days. But the next day is coming. And that's what he wants to have us keep in mind. Why does he delay the promise of his return? Verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants us with him. He wants us all with him. Are they all going to be with him? No. It is not speaking about universal salvation. That does not happen. But the universal gift and the offering is there. We choose to accept it, the gift. But by not accepting it, we also choose to reject it. Which is why we need to live the word, live the faith, live the life that Christ has in us. So that people might see Christ. It's because of his desire for his creation to recognize him as creator and enter into a relationship with him that they might live forever. We talked about that we are not all God's children. That's a fallacy. That's a feel-good statement that people want to say because they want to still do what they want to do and not acknowledge God. We are all God's creation. That is the commonality that we have in the human race. But to be a child of God implies relationship with him, which has a responsibility to follow what they say and for him to discipline us and to guide us into that obedience so that we will have the life that he's called us to have. We had some good friends in Denver, Colorado, and they were very well off. The Polans owned Carrick Services, like the fourth largest type of FTD type of thing. They were a florist, middle person, and they were huge, and they built this $8 million home in Denver, Colorado. But the thing is, you never would know that they were millionaires. They were very wonderful people, and when they had their house opening, they hired our group, the Diamonds, to perform in the backyard around the pool. It was black tie events, you know, come to the front door, take your shoes off, go through the house into the backyard with all. But it was a house opening. Not an open house. They opened their house to their friends. They received them at the door. You couldn't say, hey, I've been watching you build this house for the last few months. Let me come on in. There were going to be people, I've heard about you, God, but I'd like to come in anyway. It's a house opening to those who've accepted his son. Not an open house. We have to understand that importance because that determines how we accept the Son, whether we're going to live eternally or not. To reject him as may know about it, may have heard about it, but if you haven't received it, it's a closed door for you. That's not what God wants. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's his wish for creation. And how they learn about it is us sharing his word and his truth. It's not us, them. It's us as created beings explain how we got here through the Creator. If knowing him is so easy, why is it so hard to receive that free gift of salvation? Because it comes with the responsibility of obedience and following your Creator. Next, Peter describes it in verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. When the Lord comes, it will both be a surprise and catastrophic. There are events that are going to take place. It's going to come. We don't know when it is. Even Christ, the Bible says, doesn't know. In his divine will, he subjects himself to the Father, and the Father knows, and that's it. Not even the angels in heaven, but they are waiting in anticipation, just like they did for the night of Christ's birth when the heavens exploded. A thief doesn't tip their hand or announce when they'll be by. Hi, Mr. Check. Are you home next Thursday night? No? Good. Thanks very much. Makes it a lot easier. Bye. It doesn't work that way. Christ is the same way. He's not going to come when we need. Because what happens if we know on this date Christ is going to return? We're going to raise hell until that day, and then we're going to be like angels on earth, right? We're called to be men of God, women of God now in all that we do. It's not holier than thou, but holy because Christ is holy. Doing those things in humility because he wants us to reach people for himself. That cataclysmic, Amy got some change on them. Cataclysmic events suggest the question, the earth and everything in it, will they be found? And the answer is no, it's to be wiped away. Clean slate. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Ever think about that? We should. We should. Every time we see someone cut us off in Meyer line. You thought I was going to say cars, didn't you? That never happens. You know, we have to think about that. What type of, there was a kind of a joking when we were a church in a box and we met at Bamway Elementary and we had all of our worldly possessions, all of our sound, all of our lights, all our stands were in this one little trailer. And on the back says, follow me to Grace Community Christian Fellowship. Man, if I'm passing people, I'm going to have a lot of people following me. They want to get to know me real well. We have to be careful, you know, in those things that we're not living, because the flesh stirs us up, and we want to show them exactly how fast this minivan can go. Pull in. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, my mind's like a racquetball court. But we have to understand in the description, it's going to be amazing, and it's going to happen because it's already been written. It exists in eternity. We just haven't gotten there yet. Because of the events, we should be ready to be living our lives. We should be living our lives in the present in light of the Lord's return, that he can come back any day. Being ready is the underline of what Peter says. Be ready today. Do things in your life that says, I'm ready. Believe me, this world should have no hold on us other than the fact that we want to see people saved. We want our family, our friends, those we care about. That's why God put upon our hearts to do those cards. I did it this way because one's for me, one's for you. We want to see them in the kingdom. You know, Luann said we've been praying for over 20 years for our sons and their wives. We will continue on to. You know, there's not a point where it's saturated. There's a point that God listens to the fervent prayers, that knocking on the door that eventually someone's going to open. You can call anyone. You can call anyone after midnight, and they'll tell you what time it is. Keep it up. You're thinking, do you know it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Thank you so much. Gotta set this thing out. See where I'm at. God loves the fact that we keep coming with these same people, you know, because we want to see them in the kingdom. Why? Because it's going to be spectacular. Man, we talk about things that are important to us. Isn't Christ important? And Peter says, they won't even understand it, but don't give up on it. Don't give up on them at all. Because we're looking for and hastening the coming day of God means expect and anticipate. There is a day that God has determined when the last person is saved, he's sending back his son. Let's be in the mindset that we might come across that one last person and want to share Christ with them. Man, that changes your thinking real good. But verse 13, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And at the very end of it, the day of God. that's what we're going to pick up next week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the excitement that it brings, because what an amazing picture that you have for us of what's ahead. What an amazing opportunity to be used by you to reach the lost, to know you, that they would be lost no more, that they would be struggling no more, that they would not put the weight of the world on their shoulders or see that this is all that there is, because there is so much more in you. Father, help to keep our thinking correct in you this week, that people might take notice and be drawn to you. Use us, Christ, we ask in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.
Church here today. We worship and we pray and celebrate the love that we've been given. But under the shadow of our steeple, the lost and lonely people are searching for the way. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Damn, there is a way. There is a way.
Hey, this is Mark Hall from Casting Crowns. There are about seven of us. We all met working in student ministry. I've been a youth pastor for 12 years. And all the guys in the group and the girls, we're all small group leaders and teachers in the group. We met in Daytona Beach where I was youth pastor. They're really neat people, Juwan and Mel.